page 98, Ois Tes Vav, the last three lines. It's Simon Reish Samach Vav, Sifkad and Tes Vav, the laws of the knife. Yesh Misha Oisel Lekanecha Yizem Ben Adam B'Shabbos. Are you allowed to clean the knife when the meal is over? Are you allowed to clean the knife from blood? V'loy Nohag is a hole, some hole that is also to be so. V'loy Nohag Kein. It is not the minute to do so. The gam ikra din nearly the mutter. Okay, we're not noyeg not to clean the knife. The ikra din it's mutter. The kevin since the mutter l'talpul tzach hamila bevadai kol mad shashayich le'inyan. Whatever is shayich le'inyan hamila le'shayich muksa k'mashakasa b'simin b'sif hakoydim. We learned this yesterday that once already you're allowed to do the bris mila. So we discussed all the lumdis that anything that is part of the process of bris mila, there is no isur muksa, and that includes cleaning of the knife. Ladas Rabbeinu Rama b'prat, the Rama was very mad. The Rama says that the entire day the knife is not muksa the entire day. Oh, b'prat yadua de asakin shel mila in lo yachzikuhu b'nikius, if you do not preserve it in cleanliness, yazik l'tinoikos, so future children will be harmed. The ad shemenakin iso lo shach be muksa, until you clean it, it's not shach muksa. The nikreis tsorchei mila, it's all part of the process. When you do bris mila, you always clean the knife when you finish the mila. The raka orla misha hishlicha also l'talta. There is one thing that indeed is muksa on Shabbos, and that is the of the foreskin. After you remove the foreskin, you put the foreskin in sand or in earth. That is muksa. The yesh mishamati b'shaloi kishlicha le'ofa l'shuv l'talta l'anicha b'yofa. What happens if you remove the foreskin? The foreskin is on the table, or is on a bandage, whatever it is, and you want to now do be mekayim the minhag of taking the foreskin and dipping it in sand. Is it muksa? So this, he says, is a machlokes. Some say that if you forgot to put it directly when you took off the orla and sand, you're allowed now to pick it up off the table and put it in sand. V'lo nir eli, klal, I disagree. He holds that it's not so. That once already you took it off, that far you cannot go. V'din shlishi l'mila. So therefore, that's very chiddish. He goes to show that he holds that this thing of taking the orla and putting it in the sand is not so important that you can override the laws of muksa. We mentioned 2 days ago, you have the same shiloh when it comes to lighting a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov. If a person forgot to light a yahrzeit candle, yizkar, people have a minute that whenever you say yizkar, you light a ner neshama. So what happens? You should light the ner neshama before Yom Tov begins. You need to have a 2-day candle. And if it's a 3-day Yom Tov, you may need to have a 3-day candle. What happens if you forget to light the ner neshama before Yom Tov begins? Are you allowed to light the ner neshama on Yom Tov? So you would say, of course. You're allowed, mitach shehotu litzarech, chotro shaloy litzarech, just like you're allowed to light a fire, litzarech eichel nefesh, you're also allowed to light a fire for this as well. But that's not so simple. It's not so simple if lighting a yahrzeit candle has any real significance. And therefore, to go light a fire for no reason whatsoever, it's chil
yom tif. You're taking from a fire that's already burning,
but still you're lighting, you're making a new fire. You're making a new fire, which is on Shabbos, will be chil Shabbos deraisa.
So it's yom tif.
You're only allowed to do it for a tzorich mitzvah. So is lighting a yahrzeit candle called a tzorich mitzvah? What exactly is the mitzvah? Are you allowed to do this? So that's why the chatzilah, everyone lights the yahrzeit candle when they light candles before Yom Tov, a 2-day yahrzeit candle. Are you allowed, if you forget to light, are you allowed to light? Same exact shiloh. Let's say you have mamish a yahrzeit, same shiloh. You have mamish a yahrzeit on the 2nd day Yom Tov. Are you allowed to light the candle? Or let's say you have yahrzeit on the 1st day Yom Tov, and you forget to light the yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov. Are you allowed to light a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov itself? So this is a machlokes ha-poskim. Many poskim say yes. Yes, it's necessary. It's a mitzvah. You do it for the neshama. It's a minhag yisrael. We do it. It's mutter. However, many poskim on the other hand say it's us. It's not osur. It's not the right thing to do. What?
You have a house full
it's
of
light. It's nothing with light.
Can you add another light? No, you can't.
If you don't need the light,
you're hurry.
No, you would not. If you, it's at night, Yom Tov night.
Now, let's say you have a room full of light, and you get another light, it looks nice to you.
Yeah, then it's mutter. That's mutter. Okay, because so it's a tzarech. That's a tzarech. The neshama doesn't need the light.
You need the light.
What do you need? Oh, you need the light for you or for your peace of mind?
Yeah, I must have it.
Oh, so that's a heter. If it's for your peace of mind, then echnami. But you have to say to yourself, why do I need this peace of mind? Why do I need it? What am I already doing? Is this really called a mitzvah? Show me somewhere in Shulchan Aruch where it says that lighting a yahrzeit candle is a mitzvah.
Women are makbid a lot on this.
On yahrzeit candles?
Yeah,
they're makbid on and lighting candles for Shabbos and Yom Tov. What do you have? So Rybelski, I heard this. Rybelski told people is that if you really want to do it, you can do it. But you should know it's not so simple, and there's no harm done in not doing it.
With this, in a moment, why is not the principle like if it's out of place, like a hammer on the table, Shabbos?
No, because
you could remove it. It's out of place.
Sorry, but kind of.
Well, that's if you need the place. Let's assume for the moment the bris milah is taking place in your house on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Many times they have it in the house. They do it in the side. Where it is, it's not harming anyone. You don't need its place. The moil removes the foreskin. He puts the foreskin on the table, on this little table. No harm will be done if it remains there for the remainder of Shabbos or Yom Tov. Am I now allowed to pick it up and put this in sand? The minig is to take the arla and dip the arla in sand or earth. As we learned, it's a Kabbalistic minig because it's a zecher for the nachash. The nachash is cursed. The afar toichal kol yimei chayecha. The nachash is the cause of their being in arla. So we give the nachash what it deserves. This is Kabbalah, in Yoni Kabbalah. An arla, the etzem, is muksa. It doesn't serve any function. It's something which is disgusting. It's smallest. It has no function whatsoever. It's muksa. And are you allowed to be metaltal muksa? Well, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to do the bris milah. So can't you go? Well, if you when you take off the arla, you directly already holding the arla in your hands and you put it directly into the sand. Of course. But once already you made a mistake and you put it down on the table and now you want to go back and pick it up a second time and now it's a shaila. If it's shaila of graf shel rei, that's another shaila. Let's put that. Let's assume now there is no issue of graf shel rei. You're not your dining room table. It's in the corner in a little part of the house where no one's going to go there. There's no issue of graf shel rei. It's just a question. I want to be mekayim the min of Yisrael of putting the arla in the sand.
You do it the next day?
Do the next day, I guess you want to do it, maybe by that time it'll shrivel up. Maybe by the next day, what? Maybe you're right. I don't know. You're right. Good question. But maybe it's since it's Bo Bayom, maybe the minute is since it's the eighth day, you want to do it right away. Yes, a good question. Why isn't doing it tomorrow take away from this minute? Good question. Maybe by tomorrow the maid's going to clean it up. Someone's going to take it away. I don't know the answer. But let's put that aside. Let's say there is no tomorrow. On the news, they're predicting the apocalypse is coming. Okay? So there is no tomorrow. So you want to do it today. Now or never. So this is like the same type of shiloh with lighting a ner and a shama. Rybelski said, there's no halacha. There's no shulchan aruch. It's not one of the tayag mitzvahs to light a ner and a shama.
There is
halacha. There is?
Yeah. It says, right, or should you put all the ner and
before,
shama, so people would get upset if they see ner and shama goes out, they would maybe light it again.
Aha, uh-huh. Really? So they put it together. Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, so that's the question. That's the question. Get upset. So don't get upset. Train yourself not to get upset. Is there a halacha? You're being mechal Yom Tov. You're doing a ma'is of lighting a ner on Yom Tov. It's not for food. It's not for illumination. It's for a mystical concept.
We light for the neshama if it's during the week.
But right? You're not doing a halacha. It's a Kabbalah.
One second. Why are we lighting for the neshama during the week? Why are we lighting the candle? Altogether.
It's all mystical.
It's all mystical. It's in Yoni Kabbalah. The neshama has a nachas ruach that someone lit a ner on its behalf. Rashbi, like the Omer, the whole thing there is to light candles. The biggest thing you can do, you go to Rashbi, is to light a candle. I mean, we're not there to give wine, to mean not to give yayin, what's it called, and a few dollars, whatever it is. But to light a candle, that's what Rashbi wants. The neshama has enough. But the world of Kabbalah is not the world of halacha. Shabbos, there's a halacha. Lighting a ner, shaloi litzarech, is a chil yontif. It borders on the loisase, you mean machal yontif.
People will light a havdalah, such a candle, so that they could light for the second night from that. To have a,
yeah, but that's not. Okay.
So the same
but havdalah is another halacha. You have to make a bari mari ha'esh. Okay, but let's just discuss lighting the ner and the neshama. It is not halacha. It is in yonei kabbalah. Here it is in conflict with yom with halacha on yontif v'chil yontif. So what do you do? The minhag ha'olam is to be makel, is to light. If you forget to light the ner and neshama, you can light it. That's the minhag ha'olam. However, it's Rabbi Belsky who used to tell Talmidim, it's not so simple, and you lose nothing. You lose nothing from the neshama if you don't light it. Here is exactly the same principle. You have here the arla, there's an inyoni kabbalah to take the arla and to put the arla in offer. Now you have a conflict because it's Shabbos. And the arlo, you already put it down on the table. It's muksa. Are you allowing the metalpa muksa to be mekayim in inyan of Kabbalah? So he presents this dilemma over here, and he says it's not the right thing to do. He says, "V'raka arlo m'shei yishlicha asa l'talpa v'yesh mishamate k'shaloi yishlicha li'ofer l'shuv l'talpa l'anicha b'yofer v'loi mihir li'klal." The Rama says, "In yoni halacha, in a Kabbalah does not override in yoni halacha." Period. The din.
What do you expect from a litvak?
The din is shalishi lemila. The going to mikvah is also the same dish. Okay, going to mikvah on Shabbos morning is also the same issue. Are you allowed to go to a mikvah, hot mikvah on Shabbos morning? Going to mikvah is in yoni kabbalah. Rambam says. I read you the Rambam last week. It's mamish hocus pocus. You go into mikvah. All of a sudden, the tumah goes away. But it's a big inyan to go to mikvah. This week's parasha, the kohen goes five times mikvah. But it's yoni kabbalah. Shabbos, are you allowed to bathe your entire body in a hot body of water? It's mam shulchan aruch. It's aser to go immerse your full body in one shot in a tub of hot water. No, I do that. And you're allowed to dry yourself with a towel. It's a shaylah of schita. You have two major shaylahs. So here we have a conflict between the yoni kabbalah and the yoni halacha. Maybe you'll say that if a person is in an issue of Ezra, Tfilas Ezra, if he is Tomei, if a person is indeed Tomei, then maybe then there's more of a heter to be matir, because then it becomes more of a halacha. Tfilas Ezra is halacha. It's halacha, there's a degree of halacha. But if it's, let's say the person is not Tomei, and it's purely Tosefes Kedusha, he wants to be malah himself to a high level of Kedusha, you're coming into the exact same shaila of where do you draw the line between Kabbalah and halacha. Ois tes now din shlishi lamila nispar barachaim simin shin lam al ayin sham. You can be mechal yomtiv anytime you have a suffix, even though like I told you yesterday that the doctors and the moilim do not see when it comes to a baby any issue after a few hours after the bris mila, it's over. The baby is healed. There's nothing more to do within a couple of hours. So we don't really understand why there should be an inyan of shlishi lamila. And we said yesterday it's for adult. Maybe it's for adults. It's for adults, or maybe it's there's something that we don't know. So there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch that since halacha says you're lighting mechal Shabbos, if any issue arises for the baby within 3 days, you can be mechal Shabbos. Things that you ordinarily would not do on Shabbos, you don't take your chances when it comes to an infant for 3 days, because who knows, it may indeed be related to the bris milah. Tezayin. Adam shloimol miolam lo yomol pam rishon b'shabbos. Mila shloim bizman is not a shabbos. Shemu yikalkel v'nimsa shechil haShabbos. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. The moil. I'm sorry. Not the person. The moil should not do his first bris mila on Shabbos. And a sheichet should not do his first shechita on yomtiv. Adam shloimol miolam lo yimol pam rishon b'shabbos. Shemu yikalkel v'nimsa shechil haShabbos. He was makalkel v'chal Shabbos v'leikim a mitzvah av mishamol pam rishona. You don't need a chazaka. Okay, even one time is enough. The zeru rak chashash Hashem lo ya min yada v'kevon shim in yada pam rishon to die. Who knew you say it? There's something called a chazaka, three times or two. Machol is chazaka twice or three times, and then there's a whole new concept. Is you have to prove yourself. You do it once, you've proven yourself. You don't need a chazaka. Mila falls under this category of personally, it's a meritable chiddush, because he's dealing with Chil Shabbos.
Are you afraid the guy's squeamish? So, first time he...
He'll hold back. once he proves himself one time, it's okay, you do not need a chazak. No, it's not so. At least twice. You do need a chazak. It makes no difference. Don't say, listen, I'm the father of the baby. It's my mitzvah. So even though I never did it before, I should be allowed to do it for the very first time on Shabbos. It doesn't matter. Even though you're the father, too bad, we don't let you do it the very first time. Some want to make that suggestion that the father, it's his mitzvah, you cannot deny him the opportunity to do the mitzvah, even though it's going to be his very first time. The Ramah disagree, the Arachshol disagrees, Masha Kasa, Atur, Ayin Sham, we don't pass like this, as we said before, that it used to be the minhag that they would divide the kibbutz among three people. One person does the mila, one does the priya, and one does the mitzitza. We don't do this bizman hazeh, but you cannot be mechaber a person just to do the priya on Shabbos if he never did a priya before. Okay, mi shenoylad ben hashmashais shu safik yom safik laila moinim min alayla v'nimo b'tashi safik shmini. The person was born ben hashmashas, so you have no choice but to delay. It's not, you have to do it on the let's say it's on a Tuesday, Wednesday. So the next Tuesday would be 8 days from Tuesday. Wednesday will be 9 days from Tuesday. So if the baby was really born on Tuesday and you're doing the bris milah on Wednesday, you're doing the bris milah on the ninth day, you have no choice. Because if you do the bris milah on Tuesday, it may really be day 7. Since it's Bein Hashmashos, maybe the baby really was born Wednesday. Now when it comes to Shabbos, Friday night, so when you get the Shiloh, you can't go do it on Shabbos, because maybe really it's the baby's seventh day, and then it's not Doicha Shabbos, so you have no choice but to wait until Sunday, which might really be the ninth day, you have no choice. The Nibble, the she's... What?
It might be the tenth day.
No, the ninth day. The baby is born Friday night. So Shabbos is Sufik, Shabbos is going to be Sufik 7, Sufik 8.
No, Friday night it's
Suffolk
9.
Friday is
Suffolk
7, Suffolk 8.
Right, Shabbos, Suffolk 8, Suffolk 7.
Suffolk 9.
Suffolk 9, okay, fine, so it's 10. Is that how it works? That the numbers?
Friday night it's Suffolk 7, Suffolk 8, Suffolk 7.
Bottom line is, if a baby is born, Bein Hashmashos, Friday afternoon, Moinim Miyom Hashabbos, Ve'enim Nimol B'Shabbos. So we assume we count Miyom Hashabbos, Ve'enim Nimol B'Shabbos, Haba. So we assume that we don't do the Bris Mila on Friday. Okay, we don't say the baby was born Friday. If the baby was born Friday, then we'll do the Bris Mila on next Friday. No, we assume the baby was born on Shabbos. But it was born on Shabbos, so we do the Bris Mila on Shabbos. No. Maybe it was born on Friday, so they have no choice to do it on Sunday, day 10. So therefore it's going to be, it might be the 9th day, it might be the 10th day. What happens if it's 2 day Yomtiv? So you gotta wait until Yomtiv is over. Nimol b'yom gimel, you gotta wait until Yomtiv is over, which might be the 11th day. Tegam Yomtiv mila shloim bezmana ain't a doicha. Mila is not doicha. Mila shloim bezman is not doicha Yomtiv. V'afilu Yomtiv shen shel golias. Also, don't get carried away and think since only Yomtiv shen shel golias and it's a suffix, so we can say it's a sfek sfeika. Hold the Yomtiv sheni is a suffix. The mila bein hashmashos is a suffix. And also, we learned before, the Aruch HaShulchan mentioned that somehow Bechlal was not such a terrible avera to do a mila on Yom Tov, because since Mitoch Shudra L'Tzarech, Hudra Shaloi L'Tzarech, Shchit is Mutra on Yom Tov, right? If Shchit is Mutra on Yom Tov, so why can't mila be Mutra on Yom Tov? It's the same principles, it's cutting this dam, and it's the same. So maybe there's a svara to say, yeah, what? The Aruch HaShulchan mentioned this concept before, and he rejected it. Even though one can maybe make that argument that on Yom Tov maybe you should be allowed to do a mila shaloi bizman on Yom Tov, he says no, we don't pass like that.
But the baby was born Friday, but Shmosh
is he's saying in interesting shaila. Behema has to be at least by a carbon. Only by a carbon you have the halacha.
Not even today.
No, I don't think so. That's for health reasons. The government won't allow it. But I don't think you have to wait 8 days because of Nathal, because of the Trafus. I don't think so. I think of carbon. I think only when it comes to a carbon. Only a carbon, but a chulin, I don't think you have to wait 8 days. Maybe I'm wrong. The government won't let you do it. Okay, that's another issue. But v'afilu yamushu shel goli sulifa, maybe we have a lot of snifim, a lot of different things. Maybe you can combine, you can make a lumnus, a whole lumnus to come together to say that a yamtiv sheni shel golius l'chayr, you should be able to do a mila sheloi bizman. So many sekas, so many mitoch shehotra, or and because yamushu bechlal is a safik and it's ben hashmasha is a safik, so we should do it. No, you can't. He paskins, you cannot do a bris milah loy plug. You don't do a bris milah no matter what. V'zeh sheshan chacham b'mishnah katan nimol b'lishmoyin l'tisha l'asara uli yud, it's a mishnah uli yud aleph uli yud beis, a 3-day yamtif. A 3-day yamtif means you're going to do a new beis. Yeah. I ain't sure if zeh ba'oifin should be like we stem forth. The end, if it's coming out, then you're going to do the bris milah on when the 3-day yamtif is over. The baby was born bein hashmashos leading into a 3-day yamtif. So then you have to do the bris milah after the 3-day yamtif. The following, the bein hashmashos which will come out during the 3-day yamtif. So you have to after the yamtif is over, which should be on day 12. Yeah.
Suppose you have a bomb shell, an American goes to Israel.
You mentioned this yesterday. And it's the yamtiv sheni. I'm assuming the halacha will be, since it's the father's mitzvah, mila is a mitzvah sabein that's done to the child al ha'av that falls upon the father. If the father, whatever the father is, minog is.
If but it's a chumrah. It's a
not a chumra. No, it's not a chumrah. It's a halacha. No,
what is a deraisa?
Now it doesn't make a difference. So wearing tilm is also a deraisa. Being mechal Shabbos is deraisa.
So with machmen.
Not machmen. No. That's
if you keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
You really should put on tilm the second day because it's a deraisa.
That's exactly the point. The point is, if you keep 2 days, you hold of the shita that it's a full day of Yom Tov, no ands, if, and buts. This is machlokes apoiskim. This is machlokes achroinim. The lomdus of an American comes to Eretz Yisrael and Yom Tov Sheni. What should he do? There are different opinions in halacha. Wherever you follow, it used to be in the olden days, everyone followed the halacha that you keep a second day. Yeah, this used to be standard. I remember there was a whole writer of Hershel Shafi wrote up all the rishonim achroinim. Klar, he tells you all the names of the Mar Mekaymas. It used to be standard. An American comes here, surely does not own property, just a visitor, a tourist is there. For Yom Tov, you keep 2 days. It's a full fledged 2-day Yom Tov. You do not wear tefillin. You do not. I don't know. Okay, but you know tefillin, and you dive in the nusach of Yom Tov, and you make all the brachas. There's nothing to talk about. Then there are shittas. It became popular today. If you come to Eretz Yisrael in Rome, you do like the Romans. This is the sheet of other acharim. They have 1 day, 1 day. You observe 1 day. You put on tefillin. You can go to work. You can do anything you want to do. It's nothing. And then it became this new thing today. This new thing today is you do a day and a half. You basically you follow one you take one approach, and then the other thing you take l'chumra. You daven, you put on tefillin l'chumra, and you daven the nusach of chol, but you don't do any malacha. I don't know; it's very complicated. Whatever your rabbi tells you, whatever your opinion is, that is what you're going to do for the bris milah. If you're from the old school is you're going to keep 2 days yamtiv.
Yeah.
If you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have a bris milah, and the milah bizman is the second day yamtiv. And you keep 2 full days of Yom Tov, you would not do the bris milah on the second day. You have no choice but to wait until the next day. That's what I would do.
Once you wait,
yeah.
It's not bris milah, you have to do it right away, or could you wait a week?
No, right away. Of course, right away. That's the first halacha. Even when it's milah shaloi bris milah, you have to do it immediately.
If it's a
chayla, no, the doctor tells you when the baby is ready to go.
You could have it even do it the next day is Shabbos.
Then you have to wait until Shabbos is over. The next day is Sunday.
You're actually waiting 2 extra days.
Let's say it's a 2-day Yom Tov. Like in this exact case. So you have to wait. That's, you have no choice. And if you follow those opinions that say that I'm a tourist, I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to do like that, I'm only going to observe 1 day Yom Tov. If that's what you do, you can do Malacha. Of course you'll do the Bris Milah on the 2nd day Yom Tov. You follow whatever your minug is. A lot of Americans, they buy their children's Eretz Yisrael, and then they buy an apartment. And they make this transition, and they always go for Yom Tov. I always used to keep 2 days Yom Tov. This year, for the first time, I'm going to be keeping only 1 day Yom Tov. Why? Because I bought an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. I own real estate in Eretz Yisrael. That's a game changer. I come here at least for one of the Shalosh Regalim, if not all of the Shalosh Regalim. Even though I have a job in America, and I live in America, and I have a house in America, and my family and my friends are in America, okay. But being that I own an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, which I've given to my children to live in, and I come here very often, at least once a year, twice a year, that already by many poskim is a significant factor where you only keep one day Yom Tov. So if you're having children at this age, you can go and make the bris milah on the second day, Yom Tov.
One
for Eretz Yisrael. That already changes. That already changes the dynamics.
They don't wait 6 months.
What?
They don't have to live there more than 6 months.
You buy like a mezuzah. Once you buy the apartment, you mechuyu the mezuzah immediately. Okay, next halacha. Mi shenoylad. Okay, next ois yudches after yudches. Now, what is the Shem ben Hashmashos? We learned a while ago. This is the big machlokes in America. Shem ben Hashmashos. If ligu tanoid is amaroyim, machlokes tanam amaroyim. B'say perik b'mevelikim because of balah itur. Misveiko misafkan hakalacha kidivrei mi. How does how we pass like? Hilchah different. I isyalid yinuker mitishetishka hacham asafik hu at the shalom ben Hashmashos. Rabbi Yosi. V'nimol liasara v'yisyalid b'mitzvah Shabbos m'shetishka hachama avdinen l'chumra kiderabba ad kan lishan. In other words, when is Bein Hashmash? There are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is it starts the moment the sun sets. The ball of the sun goes below the horizon. Bang, you're now in twilight zone. Bein Hashmash. Others say no such thing. No such thing. The sun, the ball of the sun can go below the horizon. It's vaday yoyim. You have, what is it, how many minutes? Yeah, you have about 45 minutes until
depends
you...
what latitude you're on.
Until it begins to get dark. When it begins to get dark, that's when Bein Hashmashos starts. So how do we pass Halacha L'Maisa? So that's Machloik. It's the Chassidim, and the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim always follow the Gra, follows the Shita of the Ma'adash Halacha, that Bein Hashmashos, because when the ball of the sun goes below the horizon. Rabbeinu Tam, the Chassidim, they hold no. They hold that, but we pass like the other shaitans, that the Bein Hashmashos begins 18 minutes, something like 18 minutes, whatever, before, like 72 minutes is Vadei Laila. So, whatever it is, 14 minutes, 18 minutes, I don't know, different shaitans before that, until like, well, let's say, practically until 50 minutes, it's still Vadayon. That's a big stretch, right? Until 50 minutes is Vadayon, so you can mamish do malacha after the sun sets. So what do we do when it comes to a baby? So since we don't know clearly what the halach is, no matter where you find yourself, you have to wait until the next. If the baby is born after sunset, until a certain period of time, you have to be machmir, and you have to assume that the baby was born bein hashmashos, and wait. Now, halach l'maisa, how do we paskin? So it all depends who you ask. I don't know the answer. Maybe we'll do homework for next week, for Monday, b'li neder, to tell you all. It would be a good thing to go through this finally, once and for all, to get all the numbers straight. All the different shitas, Rav Moshe says, all the different Dalei Yisrael, talk to a Mo'el. Every Mo'el will tell you a different answer. When exactly is the cutoff point? Does it mamish mean when the sun sets? Not necessarily. You have some leeway. Even after the sun sets, I think you have like 8 minutes. I think Rav Moshe gives you 8 minutes. The first 8 minutes, something like that, is still part of the previous day. And then you enter into Bein Hashmashos. For how long? For 35 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. It's also a big machlokes. When Bein Hashmashos starts and when Bein Hashmashos ends, there are different poskim. In America, there's one mahalach. In Europe, there's a different mahalach. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a different mahalach. There's halacha and there is minig, which poskim to follow. And every moyel will probably shy away from this shayla and tell you to go ask. Go ask him. Maybe they'll probably ask you. Whatever your poskim tells you, tell me who your poskim is. You went to Rav Feinstein, he told you this, fine. You went to Rav David Cohn, and he told you this. Do this. You have to know really.
Shita. Rabbi Yochanan go into the Leda with the Rosh or
not? I don't remember. Exactly I don't remember. When is the Leda? Is the Padachas, the forehead? I think maybe we learned it. We learned that. I think when the forehead comes out, what happens? The baby's what's called a breech. When it doesn't come out, it comes out legs first. So then, well, today they'll right away anyway. Do that will happen. They'll right away. They'll probably already do surgery right away. They probably take the baby into surgery immediately, right, to do a cesarean. So even then, what moment? I don't know the answer. It's also probably a matter. You have to ask the doctors to have different techniques. Yeah. Techniques in pulling the baby out. These forceps, they don't use forceps. They do surgery, not surgery. They bang on the, they do all these violent things. Someone told me, someone did a fellowship for an OBGYN, said to me, You wouldn't believe what goes on in the delivery room. He says, it's wild. He says, a doctor got under the bed. Got under the bed and started pounding. Started pounding from the bottom. He says, this is a wild what goes on in there. You wouldn't. All right, so Shiloh, when exactly do you define the moment of birth? And also, who can you trust? Yeah, you know, you have to trust the doctors. They put down, husband is squeamish. So he's outside, he doesn't know what's going on. And inside the doctors and the nurses, they're in a very complex, a very delayed birth. And then the baby is born. They tell the Mazel Tov, okay, when was the baby born?
I don't know.
We don't. Whatever. It was born approximately. What do you mean approximately? I need to know exactly because there's a machlekes ha'paiskim between Rav Moshe and this and that. If this is bein hashmashes, we can have bris on Shabbos. I don't know. Give it an approximate time. 12:05. Whatever. You got a big problem. And let's say they tell you it was born exactly 7:34 and 26 seconds. They're a guy. Who says they're telling you the truth? Maybe they're manipulating you. They have their own reasons. They have who knows what? Who says you need a mashkiach to rely upon when dealing with Chil Shabbos? So these are all very complicated questions to know what to do. Any event, he writes over here: if the baby is born, we celebrate Mitzvah Shabbos. Same with the baby is born on Mitzvah Shabbos when the sun sets. Avdinan luchumah kiderabba ad kalashon. You have to go luchum both ways. The ayin you have to wait until. Next Sunday, the inyan ben hashmashos who aruch v'amuk mukayma v'arachayim simin reish samach aleph. This sugya ben hashmashos is very long and very deep and complex, and the sugya is not to be found discussed here. It's in arachayim simin reish samach aleph. Ve'ib ach b'choref oy b'mei agashamim shagashmai shashmai mechusim ba'avim shenachamo zarechas yesh l'havim l'fi mara hayoyim oy al mimoy reshos muvok. And in the winter time, when it's cloudy outside, depending where you live, especially if there's a lunar eclipse. So then or solar eclipse, so then you're really in trouble. So then you better make sure you're using your very good atomic clock to make sure you know exactly when the day is. Amnam, who says the atomic clock is right? Most of the time the atomic clocks are off also. Amnam Yeshrak Safik Tsas Khishin Miyoim Hamachwas Vizakol Lifi Rois Any Habakiyim. You have a Safik, you have no choice but to be Machmir and not be Mechal Shabbos, and you have to ask the experts in these matters. So maybe if I have opportunity, I really want to get into this, get into the clarity in these in Yanim. Maybe we'll try to do it one day. Ois your test. Katan Shnoilat Kishu Mahol. Okay, we went to this sugi with this Mishayeshlo Shte Orlis. Shne Gidin. Ois Shne Ois Ze Al Gav Ze. Some abnormality. Some abnormality or amadiroiginis. Vyotse Doifen. Okay, here's the point of Yotse Doifen. A woman has a Syrian. The Eved Yelid Bias. Anyone have one of those at home?
Some people would like to.
You have an Eved, Yilid Bayis, and the mother is a Shifcha, but she didn't go to Mikvah until she was at Sheyolda, until she gave birth. So that's a complicated situation. So you have to ask the immigration people, you know, the red, the green card immigration experts on how to deal with the Shaila. They'll tell you what to do. They have all the forms for the Shaila.
Sanctuary city.
Well, you have to ask Trump how to deal with this halacha. So normally, if this happened during the weekday, you would have a bris milah on the eighth day. No problem. But now, if the eighth day is Shabbos, if you have it on Shabbos, enem, all of these things, enem doichem to Shabbos. So that's an interesting thing over here. All of these abnormalities. Nolad mohol. We mentioned before, there's no such thing today as a baby that's nolad mohol. That's what it says. Even Aruch HaShulchan said that. To have the Gemara, all these midrashim, we're all brainwashed. From Moshe was nolad mohol. Vayaros ha-ki toifu. Nolad mohol. And you have other tzaddikim, they were nolad mohol. Aruch HaShulchan says, this doesn't really exist. There's no such thing as being nolad. There's always something to take. There's always something. The mitzias doesn't exist. So what he means here, I don't know. But what is Nogei Halacha L'maisa is the Yotze Doifen. Because that today is probably, it's never been more common than it is nowadays in age. It's very, very common. People, the doctor is. You always hear in the news, like a woman who has Zirin once. There's a big machloikis in the doctors. They always hear that.
Not anymore.
It used to be the minog,
once you finish for life.
And then all of a sudden they changed the halachas.
Happened the last quite a few years.
A long time. They stopped this. That just because a woman has a cesarean once doesn't mean you have to have it a second time. So these are things are all different.
There's always a standby.
This doctor's world. So the bottom line is a woman has yotzei daf and the bris milah is not doiches Shabbos. The chol zelam chazal mikroy from pesuk the tumtum shenikra avinimsa zachar a tumtum, which there was some type of surgical procedure to uncover the gid. Some say you do, some say you don't. We don't know what the halach is. Okay, whatever the halach is, I mean, there must be cases like this. I don't know, some abnormalities. I have no idea. You would imagine that they have to do surgery. They have to do surgery, so does the baby become a chayla? They have to do surgery. If the baby becomes a does doing a surgery make the baby into a chayla, which you automatically have to wait 8 days? If you administer anesthesia, I don't know, maybe not, maybe yeah, maybe a fever is only when the baby has a fever. If there is no fever and you do a surgical procedure, does not automatically make the baby into a chayla, which would demand that we wait 7 days, and that would push off the bris milah to after the zman. If they would do the bris milah on the day two or day three, whatever it is, I don't know. Next, new halacha. The Yisrael Avarion, Shenolai Ben Me Avrayonis, Malin Oisai B'Shabbos. That's a very important halacha, that irreligious Jews, they don't observe Taras HaMishpacha, they're going to serve at the Bris, Treif Tarfus, and they look online, find a mol, and they call Rabbi Pesach Kron, that comes up, number one, mol, celebrity mol, he comes down, and he does a bris milah for Jews, two Jews, which are 100% not observant, the Michal Shabbos themselves, to come to the bris milah. Doesn't matter. The bris milah is Daicha Shabbos. The bris milah itself is Daicha Shabbos. That's the point of Allah. What about the father is a goy? Okay, we discuss a single mother. A single mother has a, from a bank, she has a child, and the child is born on Shabbos, and the father is a goy. So like Rav Moshe says, you can do.
She's a goy.
The kusi with the kusi shaba, I skipped. Av hanolad mikusis ein malam shabbos. That's because it's a goy. If the mother is a goya, there's no bris milah. Period. You don't do bris milah. Period. Forget about shabbos. You don't do it altogether, right? Because the child's not even Jewish. The kusi shaba al yisraelis v'ha'ahilid ben dinak yisrael, and you make the bris milah on shabbos. V'ha'karoim im yanichu l'molo b'priya molam shabbos, and if they allow the bris milah, im yinichu lemoiloi bepriya,
they don't do a priya. Allow priya.
Im yinichu lemoiloi bepriya, if they allow you to do the priya, then do it on Shabbos. But if they're not going to allow you to do the priya, then mol v'loy parak yiloy mol. You're wasting your time. Don't even do it. Imlav ein mol noisoy af im bechol umamzer. Molin Oisai B'Shabbos. Yes, you even do a bris milah on a mamzer. Even that is also done on Shabbos. One more halacha. Oischav kasser ramen deberik al din din yigimel. Mishnah la bechodesh hashmini. A baby that's not full term, 8 months old. Okay, so therefore, in time of Chazal, the baby's going to die. There's no way he's going to live. Im hoya sholem b'sa'aray uvitziporonov. Hareze vlad sholem. If the baby does have hair and has fingernails, then it's a vlad sholem. V'chein, it's okay. V'chein shiva. Who? Ben Shiva. Who? Ella? It's really a Ben Shiva. Ella Shinishta, there was a delay. The baby didn't want to come out so fast. He wanted a chaz of the sugi. The Malach was teaching the Gemara. He wanted to do a chazara for the Bechina. Dirshu Bechina. He was getting a Dirshu Bechina, so he said, I just need a little chazara. But Umotu Latatloi B'Shabbos, Ve'enak Evan, it's not Muksa, the baby is A-OK. Umolino Yisrael B'Shabbos, Avalim Nodan B'Sarai Lokui. But let's say the baby was born in the 8th month, and you see there are simonim mufakim, the hair is not the way it should be, and the fingernails, ve'im tziparnov shalemim, kibdi yasan, hareze ben ches, so this is an halacha called ben ches, and this baby is muksa. The baby is going to certainly die, vadai shalohoyu roi lehivoled, ella betes. This baby was meant to come out when he was 9 months old. The yatzal kaidim shenigmar lefichal difor who chashav ke'evin zakaston ve'asal talkloi b'shabbos. Now he's saying a very big chiddush. You know, he just snuck in here a very big chiddush, and he's fataiching what it means the ben ches. This is a machloek. Remember, we learned the gemara is machloek. The lamedus. What is the ben ches? He learns that the ben ches really is the ben tes. Any time a baby in halach in the gemara is called the ben ches, really it was meant to be a ben tes, 9 months old. It's just that it was born prematurely. Prematurely, the Mela, it's going to die. Other Rishonim say it's not the Pshat. A ben ches is a bria bifnei atzma. A ben tes, something that has potential to be a ben tes, that comes out early, it's a premature baby, so big deal. A dime a dozen premature babies. A ben ches is something fundamentally wrong from the mitzias, from the conception. It was only meant to develop for 8 months, and a creature that's only meant to develop for 8 months, a fetus only meant to develop, is not going to survive. It's not a survival. He says, no. Every ben ches really built into the DNA was meant to go and develop for 9 months. Something went wrong. Something went wrong and it came out early. By coming out early, that is a termination of its existence. And therefore, we have no choice but it's going to die in its muksa. However, if it does live for 30 days, then it's kayama. If you survive for 30 days, it's not a nefel. If it's a 7-month-old baby, that everyone agrees is vlad shokayama, or most of the Shabbos, subject zayins of a benches, molnus of a Shabbos, alkoponim, im ben zayin hu, vishalim hu. Bedin hu sheyitche Shabbos ve'im ben ches harei ze shemol b'mechatech basahu ulefi she zenefel imhu ben ches ad kan shanel. So here's the chiddush: if the baby is a suffix zayin suffix ches, there's no harm done. Manavshach. If the baby is a ben zayin, so you did a milu b'zman. The baby is a ben ches, it's a piece of meat. Are you allowed to cut a piece of meat on Shabbos?
So why can't you do a vada ben ches on Shabbos?
Because that's a way. Because that's not a. That's not. There's no meal. You're not doing meat. Anything. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of meat. But it's muksa. It's muksa. The baby is muksa.
So how do you take care of it?
What?
How do you give care?
You do nothing. You let the baby die.
No, but if it has that possibility, it will live for 30 days.
There's a possibility that it should live for 30 days. So you're right. The Gemara talk is, I don't know. Good question. Since the same, Bizman said this is not no yellow halamais. That we all know. Nishtana hateva. This thing completely does not exist, Bizman Azeh. But all theoretically speaking, a Sothik ben Zayin ben Ches, Manavshach. If it's a bar kayama, mitzvah. If it's not a bar kayama, a piece of meat. A muksa. So I guess the muksa is overridden by the possibility that it's a ben Zayin. But if it's purely a ben Ches, it's a mace. It's muksa. It's a stone. It's a muksa. You can't do mila because mila is not doicha muksa. You're cutting a piece of meat. It's not going to be doicha. It's making a bracha. Shaya ben Savik ben Zayin doesn't seem to make a bracha. Ben Zayin ben Ches, you make a bracha. It's a Savik bracha levatala. I don't know. This is all very, not a yalachal maisa, these in Yanim. But they're all very, okay, but they're very interesting. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break. And then we're going to try to do something new today. I'll tell you after the break. Keep you in suspense. Thank you.